This is photographer Wyman Menzer, and you are listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharkey James. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 117. A new Nikon 70-200 and tilt shift are announced. In this episode, two sweet Nikon lenses have been announced. Luminar has Photoshop and Lightroom in its sights. Flashporter seeks to save your images, Amazon's Family Vault service launches, and a listener has a tough question. All that and more in episode 117 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Wyman, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. If you visit the mothership over at petapixel.com, you may have recently read a story about Wyman Menzer, the official Lone Star State photographer. And for those who don't know, the Lone Star State is Texas. Wyman grew up a hunter, a trapper, outdoorsman, and spending so much of his time in the elements, he learned to appreciate good light. And that's when he took up photography. Now, at first, he got rejected from every magazine he submitted images to. But Wyman, well, he's not a quitter. So as he says in Chasing Light, the short film on him by Yeti, quote, "From 1976 to 78 or 79, I got rejection slips, which was an inspiration to me. I made up my mind, I'm going to make myself good enough to be published. They're going to want my images someday," end quote. Well, they not only started to publish his images, by the mid-1980s, he was shooting many of their covers. Then, in 1997, he was appointed as the official state photographer. Quite an honor and a testament to his work ethic and determination. I'd love for you to see that short film on Wyman. Check out his great photography and everything else that he's got going on by visiting him over at his website at WymanMenzer.com. That's WymanMeinzer.com. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 117 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you hitting that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode, as well as telling all your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. I'd also like to thank all of you who snapped up this year's 5-day deal complete photography bundle. Thanks in part to your support, over $230,000 was raised for charity. And you know what? You guys all got an amazing deal. I did as well. And helped support this show at the same time. So thank you so much for that. Last year, I missed out on the deal. This year, made sure that did not happen. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharkey James. Let's hit it. Two once-rumored Nikon lenses have been announced. These are ones that we've known about for a while now and thought for sure that we would see at Photokina last month in Germany, but they never materialized. So they're being announced instead ahead of Photo Plus Expo in New York City, which runs from October 20th to 22nd, 2016. You know, I often report on rumors when I'm reasonably confident that they're A, real, and B, coming out soon. But for these two lenses, especially the more desirable of the two, I kept hearing that delays kept forcing them to be pushed back, and I was wondering if we would even see it in the balance of 2016. So there's no need to get people's hopes up, and thus, I waited on it. Well, I can now report that after what was nearly 7 years, Nikon has officially updated its 70-200 f2.8. Yep, the lens that many were hoping would see a refresh soon has indeed been announced. The AFS Nikkor 70-200mm f2.8e FL-ED VR now has a full 4 stops of vibration reduction, also known as VR. That's up from 3.5 stops in its predecessor. So yeah, not a whole lot, but still, every little bit helps. And to take advantage of modern DSLRs with a whole lot of megapixels, the optics have been completely revamped in this lens. It now has an astounding 22 elements, with 6 of those being ED, 1 fluorite, and 1 a high refractive index element. This lens has the company's nano crystal coat to reduce flare and ghosting, as well as fluorine coating on the front and rear elements to help reduce smudging. Now, of course, lens hoods and proper handling of your lenses do that as well, and a whole lot better. Thanks to its electromagnetic diaphragm, users will have more consistent auto exposure control during burst mode and will be able to adjust their aperture in both live view as well as movie modes. this telephoto zoom is a classic go-to for sports. You know, I still own the original VR version of this, which came out, I believe, nearly 14 years ago. And as you'd expect, this new version is not going to be cheap. Nikon's new AFS Nikkor 70-200mm f2.8e FLED VR, available for pre-order right now, will retail for $2,800 US. Yeah, that is a good chunk of change, right? And if you want that, that's going to be available sometime in November 2016, so start saving now. But don't forget, there are other options out there. You know, from now until December 3rd, 2016, Tamron's excellent 70-200mm f2.8, which normally goes for $1,500 US, is just $1,200 after a $300 mail-in rebate, also known as $1,600 cheaper than this new Nikon 70-200. Listen, the Tamron is an excellent lens, and honestly, for most people, it's going to be plenty good enough. If you're just getting into wedding photography or even shooting sports, with that $1,600 savings, you would need just $400 more to get yourself a Nikon D500. I own that camera, as many of you know, and it is amazing for sports, but it's a crop sensor DX body. So for just $100 less than the cost of a D500, you could get the still awesome D750. And I gotta tell you, it is a great full frame body. It's not as capable for sports as a D500 is. I mean, it only shoots at 6.5 frames per second in continuous high versus the 10 frames a second you get in the D500. But still, you could make it work. It wouldn't be your go-to for sports. But if you need a great all-around camera and you're shooting a lot of interiors or architectural stuff and you're doing a lot of wide-angle work, you definitely want to go with a full-frame camera. And the D750 would be a great choice. So like I said, you've got options here. A brand new 70-200 from Nikon is very sexy. It's brand new. It's the latest and greatest. But that comes at a price, of course. You know, I try to give you practical advice here on the show. And I think that for a lot of people, looking at the options would be a smart thing to do. If you got a lot of money and you're ride or die with Nikon, then go for it. I mean, it's surely going to be an excellent lens, no doubt about it. But if you'd like your money to go further and actually get more gear for the same amount of money, do a little bit of research, look into Tamron and Sigma lenses, etc., and even consider buying used, and your money will go even further. Options, I tell you, they're a good thing. Don't always feel like you got to be locked into the Nikon stuff or the Canon stuff. We live in a completely new world now where Sigma and Tamron make some amazing lenses, as good or better than the ones from Nikon and Canon. Speaking of options, there's another lens which Nikon has just announced, and it's the PC Nikkor 19mm F4E ED, an ultra-wide-angle 19mm lens with perspective control. Now, this lens, of course, is destined for the bags of those that are mostly shooting interiors and exteriors of buildings. They're doing a lot of architectural work, a lot of stuff for real estate. And that's where you really want to keep lines straight up and down, right? You don't want that keystoning effect, as it's called, where the building is falling away from you. That's not a very good look. This new lens from Nikon has the company's PC rotation mechanism, a first for a PC Nikkor lens, which allows for the direction of tilt operation to be made both parallel and perpendicular to shift. Its optical design allows for sharpness across the whole frame on our modern ultra-high megapixel bodies, and it has the company's nano crystal coat as well as fluorine coat on those front and back elements like the 70-200 does. Now, of course, if you buy these lenses or anything camera-related or not camera-related, actually, from Amazon.com, kindly hit my Amazon affiliate link over at LensShark.com. You know, it's a great way for you to support this show, and it doesn't add anything additional to the cost of your purchase. Next. The folks over at MacFun, I tell you, are on fire. I mean, seriously. You know them, of course, for their incredible Aurora HDR program, which Trey Ratcliffe was heavily involved with. And now they've announced a new product that came out of left field and should further make Adobe concerned. You know, when your product seems to get slower and slower over time, whether it's from bloated code or who knows what, and you have all these quicker moving, scrappy companies out there salivating for a PC or Pi, they're going to get some pie. Many of us are seriously mired by our ginormous Lightroom libraries. I mean, do you have time to figure out how to transition out of that into something else? I don't. For me, it's that and needing so much of the Creative Cloud suite that I have to pay $50 a month that keeps me in Lightroom. All right, that and I don't shoot nearly as much as I used to. But you know what? Because most people use Lightroom, I have to suffer through it as well. we're all in this together. You know, it's like group therapy, deep breaths in and out. We can get through this together. Okay, back to something more fun, Mac fun. They realize that not everybody wants what is a pretty involved, daunting, sluggish program, and have created something that's really cool and makes a whole lot of sense. A program that I think many should have a serious look at. Called Luminar, it's what they're dubbing a, quote, complete photo editing powerhouse, end quote. That, get this, is designed to adapt to how you edit, as well as to your skill level. Now, does Lightroom do that? No, it does not. Luminar can be used not only as a non-destructive raw editor for those that need that, you know, like most of us, it can also be used as a really straightforward filter slash preset collection for those who just need to get in and get out with great results. Now, if you want to do some heavy lifting with this program, you can do that too, because Luminar also has powerful photo manipulation tools at the ready. Of this, MacFun says, quote, sporting a totally unique user interface that adapts to your needs and skills, tons of one-click presets for instant results, and a vast number of image processing filters and tools, Luminar may be the last photo software you ever buy. It's photo editing reimagined for all of us. End quote. That's marketing speak for, we made something new, it's pretty awesome, and we think you'll like it. Some of the key features of this new program include a scalable, adaptive user interface with custom workspaces, over 50 one-click presets, over 35 image enhancement filters, powerful stackable layers, an intensive brush and selective masking system, texture overlays, raw file conversion, noise reduction, of course, object removal, and you can use it by itself or as a plugin. As if that's not enough, you've got adjustment layers, blend modes, selective masking tools, clone stamp slash healing, support for plugins, and a whole lot more. So as the mothership points out, you can clearly see by the feature set in Luminar that they're aiming right at the heart of today's Photoshop and Lightroom users' needs with this program. And you know what? For a first effort, it's kind of checking most of the boxes for people, I think. You know, in the past few years, there's been an awakening that's been happening in our industry. First, Apple just up and abandoned its Lightroom alternative. We're talking about Aperture here. Remember that? Then the drumbeat got louder and louder as Lightroom went into molasses mode, right? And others thought, you know what? I wonder, Bob, and it's usually Bob, I wonder, Bob, if we can make something better than Lightroom. Something Sharky James won't complain about. Like they care what I think, huh? Anyhow, what you're seeing in the last few years are programs that are built for multi-threaded processors that work the way that we want and need them to work. You know, we're busy people and we don't have time to wait around. And then you've got Grandpa, also known as Lightroom. You have fond thoughts about Grandpa. You even love Grandpa, but he's not as spry as he once was. So if the promise of something built for getting things done and the way we want to do things these days isn't enough, maybe it's the price tag that's going to entice you. MacFun's Luminar, when it's available for pre-order on November 2nd, 2016, will be just $60. That's it. $60. A lot cheaper than Lightroom, and certainly cheaper than the Photoshop and Lightroom bundle, which is $10 a month. A great value, though that may be, but still, $10 a month, and you're committed for a year, so that's $120 right there. $60 for Luminar. You know, MacFun is definitely playing to win here. Now, if you own another product of theirs, it's just $50, so you get $10 off there. And either way, it's going to be available just a couple weeks later on November 17th, 2016, when it officially launches, but then it'll be $10 higher. So who's this for? Well, for one, it's Mac only, so Windows users are out of luck, unfortunately. I see this initially being adopted by those who want something powerful, but not as involved as Lightroom. Those who want to edit their photos, but probably don't shoot for a living, you know, initially. This is just version one, remember. It's going to get more feature rich over time. And if Adobe hasn't revamped Lightroom by that point, Luminar may very well lure a lot of people away. That is, if Capture One Pro, On One Photo Raw, and the others don't first. Sorry, Grandpa. Next. Today's listener question comes from John, who has a really tough question. He writes, hello, Sharky James. I'm an advanced enthusiast photographer, I'd say, and I take this all very seriously. After all, I'm spending my hard-earned money on quite expensive gear, and countless hours of my time is invested, which is even more valuable to me. So a friend recently asked what I thought about her photography, and I lied. I wasn't trying to be a jerk, but it's awful. She's been at it for years and hasn't progressed much. Family and friends praise her work, as is typical on Facebook, and the particularly enthusiastic in the bunch have encouraged her to try to make money at it, which is fine, but she thinks that she now has to spend a small fortune to upgrade her gear. I feel this is a mistake. What should I tell her? Okay, wow. You know, you're in a tough spot here because you've already told her that her work is good along with all her family and friends, except you're a serious photographer, so she likely puts more weight on your opinion. So this is a real tough one here. If she has a lot of money and spending a reasonable amount on gear wouldn't adversely impact her finances, I'd say don't discourage her from buying the gear. Maybe help guide her so she at least doesn't spend more than she needs to. You know, you could steer her toward Tamron and Sigma Glass rather than Canon or Nikon, whatever she has, and explain to her why that's wise. Unless she's loaded, of course, and then she can have at it. Go buy the best. Why not? But I think that with your guidance, you can make this a softer landing for her all around. You know, if she spends a ton on gear and then tries and fails at making money with her photography, that's not going to make her feel very good, and then she might throw in the towel altogether. But like you said, she hasn't progressed after all this time, so I don't know. Hey, one of my favorite episodes of this very podcast you're listening to right now was Photography, Maybe It's Not For You. I wouldn't tell her that, though. You know, in my mind, if she enjoys it, then it's for her. I mean, who are we to say? She could take absolutely horrible photos, but if she's happy with them, that's all that matters. That said, I think it's worthwhile to help her not go broke in the process and not get discouraged if she doesn't make any money at it. Once she hangs out her shingle and is looking for clients and they don't actually come, you know, assuming they don't based on her photography, that's not good. So if she values your advice and she's dead set on shooting for money, see if you can at least guide her towards reasonable purchases. And that should also include some training. You know, that 5-day deal bundle would have been great for her, but unfortunately that's gone until next time around. So help her find useful training online somewhere. Maybe she can take a workshop. I don't know, depending on her finances, of course. There's also tons of free stuff on YouTube as well. But what I really want to know is, why isn't she progressing? Is she really taking it seriously? Some people, try as they might though, just never put the pieces together. Most do, but it's like anything else. It takes practice, practice, practice. And they say it takes 10,000 hours of doing something to master it. So for a lot of people, that's many, many, many years. These things are tough. You know, you want to be kind when someone asks you about their photography, but you also want to help them get better. I think it's really important to know the person and how they take criticism and then proceed accordingly there. If you can gently help someone avoid going broke and or being discouraged, I think that's always a worthwhile pursuit. You know what, John? I think you're a really great friend for asking. You clearly want what's best for her. So proceed gently with her and see if you can help her to the best of your ability. Thank you so much for your question, John. I really appreciate it, brother. Next. I've said it time and time again here on the show. If you care about your images, whether they're of your kids or your life's work, it's imperative that you back your data up. Not just locally, and that means in your house or wherever you are, but off-site somewhere. And it doesn't matter if that's in the cloud or you're taking a hard drive routinely over to a friend or relative's house or whatever. It just must be done if you care about your images, of course. But what do you do when you need to back up your photos while you're on the go? It is such a pain, and the solutions out there really haven't quite caught on, have they? But a new Kickstarter project seeks to change that. And if the support it's getting on there is any indication, they may just have a hit on their hands. With just 8 days to go as I record this, the Flash Porter is not only fully funded, they've raised nearly 4 times what they had hoped to. Now remember, Kickstarter is awesome, but it is not a store. There's a long list of projects out there that never materialized, and the people that backed them lost all the money that they put into it. So always keep that in mind, please. Is there Kickstarter insurance? If not, there should be. I think that would be awesome. You know, that might be a great way to hedge your bets. You pay a little bit more just in case it doesn't show up, and if it doesn't, you get your money back. That'd be great. Anyhow, the Flash Porter's goal is to make it super simple to back up your photos while you're out shooting, traveling, and wherever else you'd rather not bring a laptop just to accomplish that task. Now, of course, if your camera has dual card slots, you could make backups on the fly as you're shooting, but then you'd have to buy twice as many cards. And that second set is sidelined, of course, because those are your backups. So if you run out of cards, you're kind of out of luck, you know? That's where something like the Flash Porter saves the day and your images. The device looks like an old MP3 player or portable game system with an LCD screen, easy-to-use interface, and they say it'll safely and reliably back up to 256 gigabytes of files on a single charge. Remember, this is meant to be used while you're out in the middle of nowhere, and you don't exactly have an outlet near you, so you have to rely on something like this. You know, for most people, the 256 gigabytes that you can put on there in a single charge is going to be plenty. I mean, that's 8 32-gigabyte cards. But if you're shooting that much, you're either a fan of the spray and pray style shooting, or you're pushing a lot of frames away from home or your hotel room where you can back up your stuff on a laptop or hard drives. So something like this is definitely going to help you. If you're a travel photographer, you got your backpack with you, whatever, it's going to be so easy to just put one of these in there, back up your stuff, and not even have to bring a laptop with you. Now, these units accept CF, SD, and micro SD cards without an adapter. And for those of us with XQD cards, as well as future media cards that don't exist yet, there's a USB slot so you can use a card reader. Oh yeah, and thanks to that USB slot, you can also connect your smartphone or tablet and back up those images and videos as well. So that makes it even more useful to people. You know, it would have been nice to have XQD in there because we're seeing that in more and more cameras these days. But I get it. There's only so many slots you can put in there before it becomes too large to be practical, right? The Flash Porter can read RAW files from all the major brands, gives you several backup options, and comes in 500 gigabyte, 1 terabyte, and 2 terabyte options in both hard disk drive, also known as spinning disks, or solid state drive, SSD. Now, the HDD versions in those sizes are $300, $350, and $450 US respectively, with SSD versions considerably more at $500, $800, and $1,400. However, those are the retail prices. If you get in on their early bird pricing while their Kickstarter campaign is still alive, you could save a ton of money. For example, those two smaller HDD models are each $120 US off, and they're similar or better savings on the SSD versions. But again, Kickstarter is not a store, and these things are expensive. I mean, can you imagine paying $1,400, waiting a number of months possibly, and then finding out that you're getting nothing for it? That would be horrible. You know, it's really difficult to decide which of these Kickstarter campaigns are actually okay to back and which aren't. As this episode is released, you have about a week to decide for yourself. So for that, hit the link in the show notes at petapixel.com/podcast for episode 117, and we'll have that over there for you. Next. Our lives have become so digital that, as we've said in the past here, we rarely print photos anymore. After all, photos are meant to be seen, and for half of my life, that meant someone actually having to be in the presence of a physical print. For so many years now, though, it's been so much easier and efficient to just put them online, and so that's what we do. And there are a plethora of options to do that. While Amazon recently launched its printmaking service, going all retro on us, they also have Prime members covered when it comes to online photo sharing. Not only can you store unlimited photos, you can now share those with up to 5 non-Prime friends for free. For those that don't know, Amazon Prime is the service that's making me poor because it encourages me to buy stuff knowing I'm going to get it just 2 days later. Well, it's convenient. What can I say? You know, hashtag truth. For real, though, it is. Well, Amazon's new Family Vault service is part of their ever-expanding Prime Photo service, which includes unlimited photo storage, as I said, intelligent search, kind of like what Google Plus has, and now the ability to let up to 5 non-Prime members contribute to that. So think grandma and other family members here that aren't Prime members, at least. Photo storage is unlimited, of course, and the 5 of them can share 5 gigabytes of video storage. A decent, but not massive amount of video storage for 5 people. Of this new service, Amazon's director of Prime Photo, David Nenke, says, quote, "Prime members love the benefit of unlimited photo storage, but often struggle to collect and organize photos across multiple devices and accounts into a single shareable archive. we launched the Family Vault to make it easier for members to safely store and share all their favorite moments, end quote. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see how well their new smart search technology works compared to Google Photos. With this AI-based search, you tell it who the people are in your photos, it searches all your other photos for their face, and you can also search for them in specific places. So let's say Aunt Sue in Paris. Bam. Well, hopefully bam. You know, if it comes up with Aunt Sue in Las Vegas instead, you get the idea here. You know, I wonder if it would know that that's a fake Eiffel Tower in Las Vegas and not the real one in Paris. Who knows? I guess we're going to have to find out. I'm thinking it uses the GPS data that's embedded in your photos, if it exists in your photos, and then failing that, looks for objects that it can identify. You know, it has all kinds of crazy algorithms. It measures objects. It knows magically, not magically, they program this, of course, what things are and where they are, a lot of the times at least. This technology is pretty darn sweet and pretty darn creepy at the same time. I mean, if you're on Facebook, you know that hovering over a face results in it asking for you if you want to tag that person. And actually, more times than not, it sees that face and it knows who it is. I mean, that's artificial intelligence at work right there. The genie is out of the bottle, as we know. You know, most of us have provided enough info via social media and just being in public with security cameras around. Hello, London. For this technology to have useful applications like organizing our photos, as well as Big Brother-esque ones as well. 2016, what can you do, you know? So if you're a Prime member and you want to provide more data or have your friends and family contribute photos, you can do that right now. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 117 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, go ahead and do what John did in this episode and email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 118. Well, it's f8 2/50 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.
You know, I often report on rumors when I'm reasonably... This new lens has Nikon's PC rotation mechanism. That's easy for me to say, of course.